Exactly. I'm going to tell you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I'm your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman. And with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, Tim Burton and Miss Peregrine's School for Children
special
Home
kids.
Special yeah. Peculiarness.
A special review.
That's right. No, that's not the name of the movie.
No.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which I did finally finish the book.
Did you?
Yeah. I did not finish the whole book going into the movie.
How far were you? Because I'd asked you, and you're like, I don't know, I'm at this part.
Yeah,
like,
I was
pretty close. Right?
I was like, 100 pages? Yeah, I don't know. I was a ways past half.
Yeah,
but I didn't get all the way through it. And you know, it's a good book though. But you didn't like it. But as young adult books go, it has things going for it, whether it's good or not, in a way, too,
right.
Which is probably true of all Tim Burton movies. So it has things going for it, whether you end up liking it or not.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's about weird people.
It was fine.
It's about kids who are odd. So we get to talk about,
right.
You know, being odd and that being okay.
As a kid and it's
stuff
fine.
Like that.
Yeah,
right.
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 You shouldn't hide from your oddity and everybody.
But it's maybe not the best young adult book out there, but
no.
it's an interesting book. And especially, you know, if you're going to, for the right age group,
right?
It's
in that demographic, it's huge, and I get the appeal of it very much. You know, amongst some of them, I don't, but this one, I understand why this was really well.
Right, it's cool and it's crazy. Before we get into the review, you know, actually, not a lot of news this week, even though there's tons and tons of news this week. But it's the same as the last couple of weeks. It's all about TV and what shows.
Yeah.
Are or aren't coming. Westworld, you know, obviously huge.
It's getting a lot of buzz.
It really is.
Yeah,
people
like
it.
What
did
we
you
about.
Did you
I
catch it?
It? I'm gonna watch it tonight. It's
getting
a ton of buzz based on
it's
the first
really,
episode.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot. I've seen four.
Right.
And it really kind of it's a weird show because it has a lot of stuff it wants to do, and it's a show that's clearly developed. Like, you know, not your normal drama, right?
Right.
Even something like Game of Thrones, where you know what's going to happen,
right?
Really,
right.
Or at least to a certain extent you do. But a big, you know, giant sweeping drama like that, this one has a lot of stuff that it has to set in motion.
Yeah.
And it's got big plans, right? It wants awesome. It wants to be in a really crazy place by the time it gets to the end of the first season and stuff like that, right? It's got all kinds of balls in the air and it's trying to do a lot of stuff. So the first episode, even though the first episode I think is really good, but even the first two episodes, there is just like a ton of establishing stuff you know, trying to get you really involved in what's going on.
Yeah.
And then the third episode, in a way, it's like it starts in the third episode because it's kind of close to how the movie starts with the third episode, where you've got the two guys who show up in the movie. There are these key characters who are the friends where the one guy's been there before, the other guy hasn't ever been there. So that you get like kind of those two perspectives going into the movie of the guy who's, you know, been around
always
the block
there.
In this idea and the guy who it's all just brand new. Right.
Right.
And those, they don't show up till the third episode. So
yeah,
that plot is still there going into it. I mean, if you're a big fan of a really asshole movie, right? That's not their key demographic is like people who even know there is a movie,
right?
Because it can't be because
a lot
it's
of those,
too old.
I've seen a lot of people say, I didn't even know this was a movie.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't even know it was a movie based on a book.
Right.
They're just thinking it's something HBO just
and I've
out,
heard
so.
Of Michael Crichton.
Right. Yeah.
And how weird is that that he has this old movie that I never heard of. But anyway, if you do know the movie, you know, you might think it starts off a little weird because there are no guys at the very beginning. They're just they're way early on in establishing establishing stuff and having Ed Harris show up as the weird black hat guy who totally doesn't exist in the movie at all. The movie is really very straightforward and you know, stuff goes wrong with the robots and the show is a whole other beast.
I never read the book. I actually don't remember ever reading Westworld.
No.
I'm the type that would have read it before I saw the movie. And I remember seeing the movie ages ago, but yeah, a lot of people are, it seems like they're only talking about two things this week, Westworld
and Luke Cage crashes Netflix. Right.
And I can't wait to start watching that too.
Yeah. That's actually, I'm only a couple episodes into that.
What'd you think?
I think I'm actually like halfway through the third episode or something.
Yeah.
It's good. And it's an odd movie.
It looks fun.
It's an odd show for me just because, you know, there are certain actors where, I like him, the guy who plays Luke Cage, right? And he was, and obviously this is kind of, you know, spinning off from the other Netflix.
Daredevil.
Jones.
Jessica Jones.
Yeah. And because he's in that same guy,
yep.
still playing Luke Cage, same whole thing. And now we're spinning off for his own story.
Right.
But I like him, right? But there are certain actors where you've never seen them before. And then suddenly you see them in something and you've never seen them in anything else. And, you know, they really do like a good job.
Yeah.
Then they just become that guy.
That's it.
And he was in The Good Wife in a role that he kept coming back in where he was the horrible drug dealer guy and whatever. Anyway, but he was, several seasons of that show.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen him in anything else. Funny. So he's just that guy, it's a really good show. But as far as something based on a comic book, it's very different.
Yeah.
I think kind of, and in a similar, in a similar way, maybe to Jessica Jones, because it's not trying to, deliver stuff in kind of like a panel by panel theory of what we're looking at.
Yeah.
It's more of a, it's more like it's, I think this and Jessica Jones, both of them, it's almost like they're trying to accidentally be superhero shows. They want to just be like a regular show.
Right.
But then what if you can't destroy this guy and he's bulletproof and super strong.
Right.
And then, but in all other ways, this could just be
this
could just be any show about.
I was curious whether or not it was going to play well because Luke Cage is just not, he's just not the household superhero that, you know,
they're so trying to branch out.
They
into,
are. And it's,
everything.
You know, they're certainly looking like they're laying the groundwork for a really effective Defenders thing eventually, but just, it just reminds me back when Iron Man wasn't a thing.
Right.
And the Iron Man movie came out and everyone's like, it's not Wolverine. It's
right.
not Batman. Who cares?
Yeah. It's not Superman.
And it turns out it was very much, you know, it was so fun and so interesting and so engaging that you had to like it. You had to give it a shot and then you liked it. And I just thought Luke Cage just isn't going to resonate with people. Not because it's a black guy, but it's just, he just doesn't have the normal superhero stuff.
And
usually you need a lot of gravity to bring someone in. And then when I saw the update that Netflix is like down because of Luke Cage, I just thought, there aren't that many geeks out there that are doing this. This is actually hitting people beyond that demographic that are curious about it. And that's great.
I think that it also tells you, especially Jessica Jones, you know, did well.
Yeah.
I think Netflix has really managed to just convince people that it's worth checking out anything we do.
Right.
And
give us a shot. We'll hook you and that'll be it. Yeah.
It's weird in a way because they're doing it so across the board.
Yeah.
Like they have kids shows where it's like, you know, those are getting tons of, you know, recognition and attention and
it's great.
You know, kids want to watch Netflix now
the
and the Netflix originals are really good. It's wild that you can come up with, you know, the next thing and then still, you know, crash.
And if they can continue, like how strange their Wikipedia page will be. Cause I remember they're not that old and they've not been without controversy and things that look like they might be shutting down.
Right.
And they just, they're on top of the world.
Right.
Like they're great. So.
Right. And you know, now the new like breaking news Because just now, like their stock went up a ton yesterday because now there's rumors that Disney might be interested in buying them out. Or
if Netflix could just figure out how to bring Firefly back, then they'd kill everything.
I don't know.
That's the other sad thing in news that I saw.
You'd have to get Nathan Fillion. He says it's enough.
He's like, it's good that it's done. We're never going back.
Right.
And I could hear the collective cry.
And now it's
Anyway, but.
Anyway, but that's basically the news. There's the other news is all other TV shows. There's like kind of a lull right now where there's some news about way future movie projects and who's being cast in it and stuff like that. But other than that, it's like
I'm not going to say that you're guilty. I'm just going to say I don't know where you were when Kim Kardashian was robbed. I cannot verify.
You mean
your
because
presence.
I'm not mentioning that as news?
Right. Yeah, you're trying to stay away from this.
That's
and
not
I,
news.
I think you duck protest too much.
No, like, that's
I don't,
not news.
You know, I don't know where you
that's,
were.
That's not related
usually
to a movie.
We're in a movie.
That's not related to a movie.
Entertainment.
And it's not related to a TV show.
All
right. Right. It's
I'm just saying.
It's related to a person who's famous for being famous. It's like
isn't that like one of the biggest TV shows on the planet though? I don't ever watch it.
I don't even know, probably. But you know what's funny about that? Speaking of just being like the biggest thing, Westworld like killed, right?
Yeah.
And it got like 3.3 million viewers or something.
Yeah.
And HBO's going, woohoo. And it was like their best premiere in like 7 years
or something.
Yeah. It was the best premiere since I think they said True Detective. But it's at least like 4 years or something that it's the best premiere they've had, and 3.3 is huge. And I'm just thinking, God, that makes me so old, right? Because I mean, I remember, you know, crap like Growing Pains,
right?
You know, was like 18 million viewers when there were only three things to watch, and you know, people look back and go, how did that show last for so long?
Right.
Well, because it was on.
Yeah.
And so people watched
else.
It. Right. It didn't matter. And now you get 3.3 million viewers and you're crushing.
You're cartwheeling all over the office.
Yeah. It's
that's cool that it's doing good.
And not only that, but people were talking the last couple of days too about how much money was spent on it. And it was like $100 million
huge
for the season or something.
They better be getting 3.3.
Which and it looks like it. It looks
gorgeous.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like it or not, or think that the story is a little goofy,
right?
Man, they used that money. I mean, they got an awesome looking setup, and it looks like a movie.
Yeah.
It looks like a big budget movie, even. And obviously, it should. All right. So since there's no news, we'll try and get into the movie. Tim Burton.
I don't know if this will take very long.
And the book that was written for Tim Burton to make a movie out of.
Seriously.
Really.
Seriously.
I mean,
it really.
It's as Tim Burton as it could be. It's like when you watch a movie where, you know, it was actually written for some actor to play the part.
Yeah.
And then they do. And then you try to think of, imagine somebody else doing it because it's created
just
for him.
And I think you come up with two. One is absolutely not. It's just this is a Spielberg thing a decade ago, maybe. You know, he's moved past this stuff now.
Right.
But then I thought, you know, yeah, sure, Tim Burton. And then I remember when I first saw the trailer and I was like, well, of course.
Right.
That just makes sense. Like, I don't even know why that was a question.
Who else would you try to get to make this?
Right.
Yeah. Like Christopher Columbus. Could make this.
I got to write down what I think you're going to do.
No, it doesn't matter. Okay, anyway, Miss Peregrine. So, obviously, it's the movie about the peculiar children.
Yeah.
It's the movie that even if you watch the trailer, you're not really sure what it's about.
Right?
Asa Butterfield is a kid, and Ava Green is Miss Peregrine, and they're weird people, and the girl floats away. And stuff, and you have no idea what's going on.
You're doing a pretty good job with that.
And then, how do we make a story out of that, right?
Yeah.
But no one tells you something bad is happening. Maybe the you watch the trailer for this, right? It doesn't really. It just goes, look, it's Tim Burton, and it's weird,
and
show up.
Show the weird kids.
And when you get to the movie, and you start seeing stuff of what is the actual problem
right.
that we have to deal with in the movie. You didn't expect that from the trailer because
right.
it's weird.
Right. This is one of those rare things where I actually think that the movie is for mostly the people that read the book. It's not, I mean, you'll get people because they're Tim Burton fans. They're like, oh,
or,
man, Tim Burton.
Or pretty seriously the age demographic. Right. It's,
I agree.
I think if you're of that age, then you're fine.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, you,
so many people
kind of have to be a fan of the book or read the
book.
And
it's funny because this happens every once in a while, but not terribly often. So many people, when they, you know, we're a couple of days beyond what we normally do the show. We're doing a weekday podcast, which is always fun to mix it up. But so many people over the weekend will ask, you know, what did you guys do? What did you guys see? And I'll tell them and they'll say, oh, what'd you think of it? Would you like it? And if I'm feeling, you know, chatty, I'll tell them. Otherwise, I'm like, hey, turn into the podcast. That's where you find out what's happening. But it was interesting this time when people asked what we saw and they assumed that it was this.
You refused to
tell. The next thing
they
asked, no, the next thing they, almost every single person but one that I can think of asked me, what'd you think of the book? There was a built-in insinuation that you had read the book to get to the film.
Right.
Because there were so many fans of the book. And I thought that was because that happens every once in a while. I like, you know, I'm an English major. I like reading the books before I see the films if I haven't already. And it doesn't often come up like that. But this was one that almost across the board, everyone was like, what'd you think of the book?
Right.
So that was kind of strange.
And they had all read it.
And they had all read it as well. They were anxiously looking forward to, if not having already seen this, and wanted to talk about what was different in the book and the movie. What scenes they like, what scenes, you know, so it was,
and
it
like,
was
interesting. And yeah, this is actually a good movie adaptation for people to wonder how they would do something.
Right.
Because obviously bonkers stuff happens in the book.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking about the movie and you go, how did they make that be part of the movie or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, before we just start babbling about it, we got to throw out our ratings. So
yeah,
I'm going to make you go first.
Okay.
So you haven't gone first for a while.
It's been a little bit since I've gone first. I am a little surprisingly at average. I'm at 5.
And that's it? That's all you have to say?
Well, there were. I know we'll digest. You know, we'll digest the whole thing and we'll go through it. But there were a lot of things that I saw. I guess the easiest thing to start from is that I feel like the trailer that I saw, because we were just talking about the trailer, and we often do this, is pretty much the movie I saw. I don't feel like there was anything misleading in there.
It's just that you don't have as much information as you might be
and like what
accustomed
you were saying,
to. Yeah.
I think it genuinely puts forth the idea that it doesn't matter if there's a conflict or a character or, you know, you want to see the peculiarity. You want to see Tim Burton's take on what this world is in his head versus your head. And strangely enough, I found that a lot of what I was seeing was not bad, but it was so very bland to me that there were places that should have been spiced up or really with a lot of speed and the pacing was off somewhat for me. I felt like there was so much front loading into the world building that they were setting up. And the book is a little different near the end. The further away from the start of the film, the more changes happen in the book from the movie. The movie takes certain avenues that the book didn't, and that's fine. Because in that way, you actually kind of get the best of both worlds. You wonder how it would have done this way, but you have two different stories to play out. I love Sam Jackson, but I just thought the moment he showed up, most of the stuff that he did was just like scene stealing, vamping, kind of campy stuff.
It was very kind of cartoony.
And it reminded me, and in a way that I expected Eva Green as Miss Peregrine to be, man, she's just kind of vampish in the last like handful of roles that she's done, especially when you give her something like this. She's, you know, and I think of the 300 sequel we saw, which was horrible.
Right.
But she might be like that actress.
Did you watch Penny Dreadful at all?
Not yet. I can't wait to see Penny Dreadful. She's great in Penny Dreadful, I've heard.
Yeah, she is.
And one of the reasons that I think people really wanted that series to continue going on. But in this, at least, she's really fine, and she's actually a really good fit for this because the subtle campy stuff that she has to do, I don't think detracts from anything. But the moment that Sam Jackson shows up, though it's kind of, you know, the moment Sam Jackson arrives and starts delivering lines, actually, he just reminded me of like Freddy Krueger from the mid-90s with these weird overacting kind of sneering at the camera kind of thing.
Right.
Like not so much twisting his mustache, but just kind of like saying something and then cackling wildly because he's crazy.
Right.
You know,
right.
It started to go from a really subtle Tim Burton film for me into something that felt more and more like the way Dark Shadows went. And I just, the closer we got towards the end, the less engaged I was.
Right.
The weird pacing of stuff. But the fun thing here for me was that when Tim Burton was being very subtle with stuff, it was really effective. There's a lot of little tiny scenes in between the bigger scenes that transition that I thought were really effective.
Especially like in the middle.
Yeah. And my favorite part of the movie is probably the absolute middle. When now we've established the home, the rules, the time loops, you know, the kid, Jake, he knows what's going on. And now he's got to try to figure out like how everything is resolving around one another. That was the best part of the film for me. The start of the film just felt kind of staggered and fast and slow and off kilter. And then the end felt so rushed and so strange and so complicatedly unnecessary to put a sequel in front of me before the film was even done.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff.
I swear we're 30 minutes
from
the
end. I'll actually get to my rating.
Right. We're 30 minutes from the end. And I swear to God, they're laying literally the blueprints out for sequels 2, 3, and 4.
You could just keep going.
Just finish this story.
Not only that, for me, the closer you get to the end, the more everything that happens longer than it needs to.
Right.
Whatever scene it is, the last probably 20 minutes of the movie, actually needs to have like twice as many scenes because
right.
all it has really is
like 3 or 4
is just these scenes that just keep going.
What did you do?
Anyway, I'm at a 6.
See, I had that right.
So I thought it was, I thought basically the same as you. I was willing to be a little more forgiving to the movie. Just, I think based on a lot of the problems that I had with it, I felt like this movie was so aimed at a younger audience that I felt like I had to give it a little bit of a break for that.
Yeah.
That there's only so critical I feel like I'm allowed to be at something that is,
right.
you know, I didn't go into this movie thinking that that's what it was going to be though.
Right.
But by the time I got done with the movie, I'm like, well, it's a 4,
right?
Except it's for 12-year-olds. So is it really a 4 or is it, or do I need to, you know, give
Hater
it some room? Right?
Right.
And ultimately I kind of felt like I did, although I have a lot of the same problems you did. The thing that's weird about the movie, and it's interesting that you brought up Dark Shadows, because this movie, I feel watching this movie, like Tim Burton gets to a certain point in his movies. If you could imagine that we filmed this movie from start to finish, which unfortunately is not how films are
right.
made. Right. But somehow, nevertheless, I mean, maybe he does do that because he's just that crazy and he wants to do it that way. Right. Who knows? But you still get the feeling that he just kind of like loses interest in the stuff he's doing after a certain point. Like this movie just felt like it got to about maybe 3/4 of the way through, maybe not quite that far. And then he just was kind of like phoning it in. Then he was just like, I'm still here doing the same thing. It's like he's at this point just kind of developed into a sort of directorial ADD, right?
Yeah.
He's like, but I'm bored with this now and I want to move on. I've got this other idea that's constantly in my mind now.
Right.
So doing the rest of this movie, fine, here's the rest of your movie. But it's a very fun movie actually, except that it runs out after a while. And then it's not really fun anymore. It's just this is what I have to do to end the movie and bring the story together. And you go through the movie for a long time with this fun, odd, crazy, kooky, you know, crap happening. And then you get to the end and it's like, we can't just do stuff because it's fun anymore.
Right.
We have to actually, you know, tell a story and wrap it up. Yeah. And then it just, feels like it loses interest in itself. Yeah. And I completely agree about Sam Jackson. I like him in general. He is very, for me, very hit or miss.
Yeah.
I either really love him and stuff, or I feel nothing. Right.
Right.
Kind of. I think he's really wrong for this. It seemed like he was almost trying to do like an impression of what would Robin Williams do if he were at the beginning of his career being a evil person or something, and just like, kind of spastic and as crazy as you can be. And there's something too with, you've got to do what the book does anyway, but there is something in this story that I don't love in just the, really bonkersness of the other people.
Right.
And how they, turn themselves into monsters. And then now they're kind of coming back from being monsters by eating eyes and, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. At some point, especially if you look at the scenes we have to watch, there have to just be thousands of these little homes.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't seem like that's the story we're telling, that there are that many of them. There are some. But by this point, we've eaten all their eyes. And it's all over.
Yeah. That was about the only time in the film, too, where I had heard the audience react in a way that was kind of like, ugh. That was the eyeball-eating stuff where there's basically just a plate of them.
Right.
And they're going through it. I agree. Like, it's strange trying to nail down what I – and it's funny you made me think of this when you said it. Samuel Jackson almost looks like he's – perfectly imitating the cartoon that this movie would have been based on.
Right.
Like, he's just so over the top and so cackling and so baring his teeth and literally baring his teeth and kind of like chewing the air. Like, it's just so strange. But I didn't think
and it doesn't do anything. That's really the problem with the whole villain side of this movie is that none of it does anything.
Right.
It's very like simplistic, bugaboo kind of.
Sure, he's the boogeyman.
I'm scared of the shadow.
The one thing that I did appreciate in the book, and it won't be a big comparison of the book, though I do still suspect most people who see this film have read or will have read the book. The reveal of Baron in the book as being kind of a subtle spy, like he's been following Jacob all over the place.
Right.
I thought it was actually very effective and kind of interesting.
They really ruined that in the movie.
And they had no idea how to do that in the movie, so much so that if I had not read the book and I watched the scene where it's like in the cavern and all of a sudden it's Alice and Janney.
He walks into the dark, walks back in the light.
And I would have been like, what the hell is this? Like, this is the laziest form of storytelling. And I would have said something that we say so often. If that's what was in the book, you had to change it. If it isn't, you had to find something better. That's so clumsy and weird the way they do it. But even in instances like that where they falter, because you had mentioned earlier, giving it a bit of a handicap grading wise because it's for kids.
Right.
I didn't necessarily come into it thinking that it was going to be like The Dark Knight, tackling terrorism or even world things. I had given it a wide breadth. One of the things I was strangely disappointed in was Tim Burton. When I read the book, I already knew Tim Burton was doing it. I actually read the book like a week and a half ago. We started reading it when we knew the movie was coming right up. And I just kept thinking, I would love to see Tim Burton's version of this world, kind of like the way his earlier films had done in a way, like Sleepy Hollow. Like, I think the aesthetic of a Sleepy Hollow with the story of Miss Peregrine would have been amazing and engaging. And I almost got it. I almost got what I wanted near the end when they're at the wintry kind of circusy thing. It started looking a little fantastic. Like, I kind of feel like when I go see a Tim Burton film, I should be getting some of his aesthetic instead of just that hollow looks good. That wood looks good. And there were strange moments.
It's almost like it's already peculiar.
Right.
So I don't even have to Tim Burton it because it started out like that.
And I get, you know, maybe as a artist or, you know, as a director and as a creative person, he's tired of putting people in front of green screens. I don't know that I would have loved it if it had been like, you know, like the Johnny Depp Alice films where it was just all strange and weirdness and bloated things. But for something so catered to him and his strengths, I certainly felt like he dialed back a lot.
He didn't really like kind of own it. He kind of like left it to the book. And for me, in watching this movie,
it was a little disappointing.
This was, if you take like Harry Potter movies as an example, right? I think the first Harry Potter movie and even the second Harry Potter movie are kind of very boring from a directorial point of view, right? They are Chris Columbus movies,
right,
in like the truest sense of the of the phrase, right? They are, I will take this and make it be pretty much the book and it will all be very straightforward. And is it all magical and wild and weird? Well, yeah, because it's about kids who can do magic, right?
Right.
But then there's like a real jump in the movies when you get to Prisoner of Azkaban and you've got Alfonso Cuarón going, yeah, I know this is your book, but here's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And here's the like kind of adding some stylistic choices and how things look and how people appear and all this stuff. And like actually kind of doing directing at it. And then it's very different and it feels like him. And this feels like, to me, almost like Tim Burton doing like, seriously, like a Chris Columbus version of it.
Yeah.
Where we don't really get like, wow, Tim Burton.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we just get, like I said, it's like he looked at it and said, that's weird enough.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to weird it up any more than that. I'll just do it how it is in the book.
And even more so, like for me, it's not always the argument of style over substance. But in this instance, it certainly felt like there wasn't a lot of attention paid to the substance of the story. And I kind of feel this way about the book's material anyway. Even though I know it's a young adult story, I don't need it to be totally nuanced, but it just felt kind of like rehashed in a lot of ways. And I've seen this before. I've seen this a lot of times before. And I've seen a lot of people talking about how this is, you know, the Disney Channel's version of like the X-Men for kids. And I'm thinking, sure, because there's a group of misfit kids with different abilities and they're at a school. I get it. I see the similarities there, but not really.
Right.
You know, when the film really starts getting strong, it's when we finally step away from like Chris O'Dowd, who I usually love very much. He's not really given much to do here except chaperone and try to stay on an American accent, which goes away a lot. But I don't care. I love Chris O'Dowd. He can do whatever he wants.
Right. But he's in that role here
knows it. He's a check for it.
He's in an anybody role.
When Jacob goes through and right around the time he starts meeting everyone, but when he starts meeting Emma and they all start meeting up with each other and showing their abilities, like I'm hooked. I loved that like half hour of the film so much. And if that could have just been elongated a bit, and they get parts of it right, like later when things are really starting to come unraveled a bit, and like, or at least I thought it was beautiful. How beautiful was the computer-generated young Terrence Stamp? Like, I thought that was awesome. Like, when he's in the phone booth and he's talking, you know, I'm not giving all the stuff away. I thought that stuff was really great.
Right.
And I'm having fun because now they're starting to show the hologasts, and those looked good.
Yeah.
Like, for what I was getting and what I expected to see, I thought those were fun. I loved the subtle scenes, like when they're spying on Miss Peregrine and she goes out to shoot one. Even though she can't
see that was an awesome
scene. That was amazing. That reminded me of stuff out of Big.
And she's constantly checking her watch.
Right, she knows the right time.
All day.
I love that.
All day, every day. That's her whole life. The same day to constantly check your watch.
Get this guy.
And you know what's really good is there's a lot of subtlety. Instead of just smacking you over the head with everything, there's a lot of subtlety to developing the home, I guess, the life in that day and stuff, where she's constantly telling people they're late before you know what that means, right? She's just like, you're late, and you're going, what the hell are you late for?
Right.
And you don't know what's going on, and they don't explain it. They just let it play out, and then you go, oh, okay, well, you better not be late, because if you're late to this,
Right.
Then at exactly 4:11, I won't be standing out in the field with the crossbow. Right. So everyone has and to it, be yeah. on time, and we've got this whole clockwork thing down, and the squirrel and the tree.
Yeah,
and,
right, right.
And all that stuff was really fun and cool, and letting the, I guess, letting the, you know, weirdness of the whole thing actually kind of shine through, right?
Yeah.
And then all that part, like, that's, I think, Tim Burton was pretty on,
so
right?
I
mean,
yeah.
that was really good. But
really
then,
strong.
But then, you know, I think that's a good example of that one scene where we reveal the shape-shifting ability of our bad guy. How tense and creepy and
yeah.
and just messed up should that scene be?
Right.
And it was nothing. It was, like, so empty and hollow that
yeah.
all you could do is go, what's happening?
Right.
I mean, it was
right.
it was about as tense as not having any clue what's going on,
right.
which is
right.
none tense.
It was
right?
it was weird because it's a good scene. It's a good scene in the book that works to give that payoff, just like the scene in the book works that I think they failed in the movie too. There's a scene in the book where he's discovering that he is actually peculiar, and he
right.
finds out that the reason he is because Miss Peregrine tells him that he can see the monsters. And in the movie, it's changed a little bit, but it's just such a throwaway line. It's just like, hey, pass the potatoes.
Right.
Where do you want to go after dinner?
Right. And it's
and
that
like,
same
you...
scene. And it's like the girl, you know, says something about him
right.
seeing it. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I just thought like in a way you're right. In a way, it's almost like if you can get Tim Burton on set and you have his attention, what you can get from him is absolutely kind of engaging and really interesting. But there's almost, and you're right, there's almost a line where if you've got a stopwatch, you can clock it where like, oh, he's not here anymore.
He's out, right.
He's prepping the next film
right.
or he's doing something else.
He's right.
He's
just not there. Doodling right now about the next thing
right.
he's going to make.
Right. And it's just not there. And then the idea, and I felt like they did this with Dark Shadows, the idea that they've built up so much commodity on the peculiarity, no pun intended, of both Barnabas Collins and everyone there, or Jacob and Emma and everyone here, is that we've just got so much collateral going forward, the momentum will carry us.
Right.
And you don't drive a car like that.
And
you know,
then
you just don't, you got to keep your hands on
the
wheel.
And then at the same time, that's not even how they try to do it. It's
right.
like they're saying to themselves that that's what they're going to
do. Yeah.
But then they don't actually do it because they have those scenes like when you've got all our bad guys and they're all standing there with the demon things
sure.
that they can't even see
right.
either. And we just keep talking about it. And it's like, it's a trap.
Right.
Well, sure, it's a trap. But they just like keep kind of sitting there
yeah.
going,
yeah,
yeah, but I don't want to go because it's a trap.
Right.
And then it comes together with that skeleton fight scene, whole thing, which
yeah.
was actually a really fun
that
scene.
Was fun. That was actually fun.
But it's like then we're at like a stop and start jerky place
yep.
where we have to sit through these scenes that are too long just so that Sam Jackson can kind of be evil at us
yeah,
for a little while
yeah.
because now we're scared or we've
right.
done something based
yeah.
on the fact that he did that longer.
Yeah.
And then we get to the scene that's really cool.
Yep.
And then we have to leave that scene.
Again,
and
yeah.
then,
and I never wound up truly, truly caring about the safety of any of the kids. Not because I'd read the book, because the book the book goes to a certain conclusion as well. I just was watching what was happening.
Right.
I had no ability to be like worried or, you know, just, it was such a weird thing because there have been lesser films where I really liked a character and I thought, Jesus, they got to get out of this. This
right.
is going to suck.
And, you know, also I think the weird thing is loses some of the stuff from the book.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, being able to deliver. And one of the things, you know, now that I finished the book,
right.
Right. Which I hadn't by the time I saw the movie, one of the things I think that this movie completely loses for me, the movie did nothing for me for this anyway, is, you know, part of the book, there's kind of like this, especially the more the book goes on, there's this weird kind of undercurrent to the, you know, what a sad, useless gift you have. And yet now you're the main guy who's coming like into
right.
this world. And some of the people are peculiar in interesting ways. And some of them are peculiar in kind of goofy, boring ways
right.
and just odd and not useful in any way. Like, you know, the guy who can project his thoughts or whatever, he's right. not, you know, like we were talking about this as we're walking off, right? He's not getting on the plane with the X-Men, right?
Right.
I mean, because that's not a thing.
That's not good. Yeah.
You got the twins with you.
Right.
Right. Because they're functional
yeah.
in some
right.
way when you're
yeah.
dealing with
there
the bad guys,
this.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
And, you know, the air girl with the flying, like she like double dipped and has
right.
all kinds of cool
yeah,
shit she can do.
Right.
right.
Yeah.
And you don't really get any of that out of the movie of, you know, just his general, you know, it's such a donkey thing, right? Like he had if the bad guys had never done the screwy bad guy thing they did.
Right.
He would not actually have a power
right.
because he only has a power because somehow it's related to them.
Yeah.
And that's a weird story to be telling
right.
anyway, because you have to have had this like bad, like he's just going through life, not knowing anything was ever wrong until these bad people
yeah. started,
did something. And
yeah.
his grandfather has the same peculiarity,
right.
but you know, you don't really know how long this is going on.
Right.
You've got certain kinds of peculiar people, like the ones who turn into birds and
right.
can change time, that you keep having them and there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
But do the other ones do that
yeah.
or whatever,
yeah.
you know, whatever. But there was kind of a weird, I thought, for the way the movie was trying to tell it, the movie just kind of goes, look, this is it, just we're moving on,
right?
And we don't need to ever talk about this. And there was a little bit more to it in the book where we were
right.
kind of at least thinking about the fact or recognizing the
yeah.
fact that he has an odd peculiarity, even
right.
among peculiarities,
right?
If you're lining up to, you know, get indoctrinated into the X-Men, right, you
yeah.
want you want to be able to do something or
yeah.
you want to have, you know, he could be in the home for peculiar children. No one would ever notice.
Right.
Right. Everyone would just
right.
forever say, why are you here? Because there's nothing weird about him.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought they could have, I don't know, at
it
least
feels like a bit of a missed opportunity.
At least stop,
you know,
to look at that for a second,
yeah.
maybe, especially since he's got the thing with his grandfather and
right.
they could have.
And that's another
mentioned
thing that was
it
so
or something.
Good. That was another thing that was juggled so well in the book was Jacob's realization and the guilt that should be a defining trait for his growth as a character, you know, in books 2 and 3, which I don't know if I'm going to read, but when he finally puts together the fact that his grandfather could see the monsters, and that was why before he knew about the peculiarity, before he knew about, you know, Miss Peregrine at all, that like he was so weird and paranoid about always watching out for everything and why he always needed his guns and like these things and how tragic it was that he was left to defend himself with like a letter opener.
Right.
You know, and how that affects him in a way that is seemingly, because I'm just a pop culture kid, like that reminds me of Peter Parker stuff, you know, with that great responsibility and the power, you have to intertwine all of these things. And it just, in the movie, it just felt kind of like, I believed it was impactful partially because of the way Terrence Stamp was acting.
Right.
But not because of the emotion and the direction. Like it just was there. Like if they can convey it, the audience
right.
will get it. If not,
and then, you know, as it gets closer to the end, it's also kind of weird because the movie sort of throws this whole time thing at us. And in the delivery in the movie, you couldn't blame anyone for getting lost.
Right.
Like there's
a lot.
The day keeps happening. We're in this loop.
Yeah.
Then the loop ends. It doesn't matter for him because he hasn't built up all those days that are going to catch
right.
up with him, but they will all die.
Yeah.
But then they go somewhere
yeah.
and then they're okay. And
yeah.
then they stay in the path. And then before you know it, it's, you have no idea why they get to be where they are
right.
or what ends up happening. I mean, it's, they run through that
yeah.
all really fast.
Very
They're like,
quick.
Well, but we're going here. And so then
I wonder if
hooray.
That's not a nod to the books that we haven't read yet. Like,
the other
maybe,
ones.
Maybe they
yeah.
take a snippet of like the first half of the second book. But if they did, then that's how a person who hasn't read this book will feel watching this movie. Like
right.
what? How did
and
that
then,
happen?
And then at the very end, he ultimately goes back.
Right.
And there's this whole story about it.
Right.
That's kind of an interesting story.
I
kind of
like that part.
But it's like 10 seconds long.
But I begrudgingly like that.
And then
yeah.
they just stop telling it because they're like, well, I'm bored of
no,
explaining
I'm done
it.
With that. Yeah. It's over.
And so.
And the part that I liked the most was when he was like, you know, I got to this point and I had to join the Navy for 3 years.
Right.
You know, and I kind of went, there's a lot of these little things that are going on now that I don't know. And maybe they flush them out. Maybe they don't. But the transitional scenes for me, the small personal scenes in between what are supposed to be the bigger set piece scenes were the most effective and the most fun. Like, I feel like those scenes are up around 6 and 7. The big scenes that are the tentpole scenes and the things that are supposed to be really structurally sound, like 3 or 4.
Are all kind
of
bad.
It all teetered it in the wrong direction for me. And I just kind of felt like, okay, if I'm taking the mean average of what I feel, it's just an average film.
Yeah,
and I didn't.
It's almost like the more interesting the movie thinks something is, the less interesting it actually is.
Right. And it's like we've seen all these other young adult films. We saw more, it feels like, 2 years ago, where it was like the City of Bone instrument things. And I'm like, this is no better, no worse. Like, that's just an average film. It's like on par with, Like, I think if you read the book and you love the book, nothing's going to stop you from seeing the film.
No, and it'll probably be fairly fun.
Right.
And like I said, if it's, you know, if you're in the right, I don't even know if this, I hope this is rated PG, because if you have to be 13 to go to it,
you're
ruling out people. But if you're in the 10 to 14 or 13. Something, then you can get it. Well, I guess if you're 13 to...
Yeah. Whatever.
See, I feel like even like 16 or 17, you're aged out of this movie.
I do too.
And I think you have to get older again
right.
before you can appreciate it again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's just how that,
right.
works.
How that works.
I mean,
that,
you get,
that's the slot,
I think with a PG-13 rating, you've only got like 13 to maybe 15. We'll probably have a really good time
right.
watching it. But then as soon as you're 16, you know, after that, you got to be like at least 25
right.
again.
What do you got to be 13? Is it just the eyeballs?
You know, maybe
there's no language.
It's just like the gross.
There's no vulgarity.
It's just like the grossness of the whole
I mean,
scene.
Sam
there.
Jackson's performance is a bit offensive, but I don't know that you have to be mature enough to.
I don't know.
Anyway,
yeah, you could appreciate it better.
You know, I expected more from a Tim Burton version. On a story, something so strange.
Yeah.
And I don't think I,
but it still has a lot of fun. If you're in the right
yeah.
age group for it, there's a lot
yeah.
of it that's, you know, kooky enough to be fun.
Yeah.
It also, I think, kind of, drops the ball on really giving you anything that you want your 13-year-old who watches this movie to take away from it about, you know, it has all this stuff built in.
Yeah.
About being odd and
right.
not being like everyone else and,
yeah.
you know, being
sure.
yourself and all these great themes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Except that the movie totally drops the ball
yeah.
on those, I think, too. It just kind of says, well, those are all just built in.
Right.
So we don't actually have to talk about them
yeah,
right. or do anything with them.
Yeah.
They're just there by virtue of the premise.
Yeah.
So we don't actually have to address it or something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. It's like a movie being about something that happens, you know, during like some big civil rights historical thing that happens, and then going, so we don't have to actually talk about civil
right.
rights in any way
right.
or address that issue because look, that's the
this
premise of the movie, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So it kind of loses it. And I think the book actually does a good job of that. Kind of
yeah,
going
I
into that idea,
yeah.
you know, maybe not as much as other books. You
no,
might,
but it
you
does. It
imagine,
does better than this
but,
movie does.
Yeah.
with it. By
and
far,
and
so.
You know, the other thing before we abandon this
yeah.
movie to its own devices, I guess I liked Ava Green in it.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, she was kind of like just at the right.
Right.
Kind
she
of
hits that pinnacle just being where she needs to be to pull that character.
Yeah, she's
off.
Like just weird enough or whatever. And I liked Asa Butterfield in it too.
I like him a lot more than I thought it was.
He's not awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if he like blew me away or anything.
Yeah.
But he was really good, and he was you know, I guess he was able to maneuver through all the weirdness that he had to do well.
He has to be our surrogate into a land of weirdness. Right. And again, really, because
he's got to sell who he is in the beginning parts when he's with his dad and he's just on this goofy trip for no reason because his grandpa was crazy and it's going to give him closure and whatever, all this stuff.
Strangely, I thought I liked Ella Purnell, who played Emma. I liked her a lot because she's also his surrogate for the world. But I actually think the guy that did the best was that kid Enoch, who was kind of mad that Jacob was around.
He
in a different film, that kid would have been Miles Teller, because that's Miles Teller all over the place.
And he would have been awful. Right. And he would have been very, caricature-ish.
Too much of it. But I thought this role, with that kid having to do exactly what he needed and dislike him just enough to really be like a wedgy kind of giving, upperclassman, but still later be like, yeah, you know what? We kind of need you. I'll help. I thought that was the hardest role in some ways of all of them to pull off. And I liked him in every scene he was in.
Right. And even with him, I think as much as this movie is maybe a little too long,
two hours and 7 minutes. I mean, my God, we should have got a lot more than we did.
It's too long at the end. And there's a lot of stuff that it doesn't do that it should do. I really felt like, especially with him, we should really pay some more attention to the peculiar kids.
Yeah.
And instead of just going, well, there's an invisible boy.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe we would do anything with him.
Right.
Or talk about who he is or how he got here.
Right.
Or was he just born invisible?
Yeah,
or,
right.
or, you know, the kid with the bees in him or something.
Right.
At some point, instead of just listing them off.
Right.
And then going, here he is.
He's our super team. Yeah.
I really wanted them to kind of do something with these people and never more than when we started getting invested in that guy.
Right.
Because he's got the stick of heart in. That's not a peculiarity.
No.
That's just magic.
That's necromancy right there. That guy, people are coming to him.
That's like, just bizarro magic that
he's
doing.
That might be the
doing.
Most powerful one.
It's not because, air, I'm lighter than air.
Right.
It's not even him.
Right.
It's nothing to do with him,
right.
really.
Right.
He just knows magic.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is happening with this guy? And we even had, I think, this cool, fairly cool scene of him making the dolls come to life and fight each other, where we could have done something with what kind of a weirdo bad guy from the Toy Story movie are you that this is what you do with the magic power you have.
Right.
Except that he's only got a day to do anything.
Right.
So, and you know, that's another thing too. We could have, I mean, they kind of touched on the just brutal horribleness of that being your existence.
That's it. Yeah.
But
the book is
but not that much.
The book is way better about that.
Yeah.
Like that, confinement. And Jacob is as the catalyst for it too. Just being like, you can leave, like you can live, but this isn't really living. You're just existing. Like that's very fleshed out in the book in a way that I thought was more satisfactory than the, oh, by the way, we got to there's a checklist of stuff in the book. That's great. The sheep, the time, all these things that they're just like, we got to throw in a sentence about this.
Right.
Otherwise we'll hear about it on the internet forever.
Right. Everyone will complain.
And that kind of, irreverence towards whatever is important actually serves a bigger picture. Build that world. Don't just tell me that it's there and then move on.
Right. So. There's an awful lot to the movie that does just that, where it's not what you expect from Tim Burton.
Right.
To just go here.
Yeah.
I told you that was there.
Right.
Now I'm moving on to something else.
Yeah.
When seems like a lot of Tim Burton's career, especially if you go back at least a few years,
a while.
It's the exact opposite.
It really is. And I, what's funny? Now that we've gotten both, I miss the old one.
Well, yeah.
I would rather have that one, from 10, 12 years ago. Give me the one that did more Corpse Bride things and Frankenweenie stuff than.
Well, even if you think about what you're not liking about this movie, or what this movie doesn't do, and compare it even like with Edward Scissorhands,
right?
Which is the exact opposite thing, right?
Yep.
All we do is like this one thing,
right?
And really do it for a whole hour and a half, right? And and in this one, it's just like that's that,
right.
and it's so weirdly opposite.
Weird.
And, you know, the movie doesn't even, there are parts of the movie, you know, ultimately I think it's pretty fun. I think people will like it. It has a lot of problems that I don't like, but I don't hate anything about it.
Yeah.
But as far as being a Tim Burton movie, there's even sort of a sense of part of it where it doesn't feel like we got the whole budget. Like at the last minute, we had like $20 million cut from the budget.
Right.
And we had already filmed all the end stuff with the ships and the battle scene and that whole amusement park, where that coming at the end of the movie is weird because you see all this stuff and you go, well, where's this been?
Right.
Like, even though we were in a house and weird stuff was happening or whatever, but those end parts where we have, even like the first ride on the ship and going to raise it and then finally making it to this weird pier because that's where there's another thing and ultimately getting in this big fight. And you're like, where's this been the whole movie?
Yeah.
And it's just odd. It's, there's so much stuff in the earlier parts of the movie that we could have, you know, turned up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or,
and it could have definitely benefited more earlier on than missing it all or splurging late, you know?
Right.
I
still do love that scene. I'm glad you mentioned it too, where she kills that thing that she can't see.
Yeah.
That is such
That thing.
That is such a cool idea.
And it's like
where she's just aiming in a certain direction and staring at her watch.
Yeah. And it's funny because they've got the dead body tape.
And like, how did we kill him in the first place?
Right.
How did we get him the first time that we know that that's where he's going to be? Who knows? That was back when his grandfather was still there or something.
Probably.
They could see him.
You know. That was just a bridge scene.
And then it's weird too, because it doesn't really do this in the book either. So you can't blame the movie too much. Although I would like to think if I was getting the movie, maybe I'd think of other things.
Right.
Right. But they so downplay the fact that his grandpa left in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
And then you get through the whole movie and you go, but wait, that was like a huge thing.
That was a monumental thing.
And he apparently left because he could go after them or whatever. But also he's like leaving them blind.
Right.
And we don't really, you know, talk about that at all.
Right.
Or we kind of just leave that out there. Anyway, that's already more than the movie deserves to be talked about, though.
Did you read?
There will be some awesome special features on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that's a thing we should say. I don't know if the 3D means anything. I was not really super impressed by the fact that I had 3D going.
There were a few
movie.
Moments. The majority of the film, no. For, you know, if it's 2 hours with a 7-minute credit reel, I would say I was probably happy for at least 30 or 40 of those minutes to have it. There were things that I really liked, but the averageness of it, no, because it starts very slow. There's a lot of just real world things. By the time you really get to see peculiarity and powers and strangeness, like, it's nice. But
anything that happens,
it's not
like the 3D
really. Yeah.
Makes it so much better. No. And for the majority of the movie, all it is like, that does look really far away.
Right.
So hooray for that.
I think next week, if it's what I expect, it'll be the woman on the train.
Oh yeah.
Or the girl on the train.
Yeah.
And that's another book. I don't know if you've read or not.
I haven't read
that. And I actually wanted to stay away from it because it just looks like such a Gone Girl, Fatal Attraction, Basic Instinct mashup of everything you know is wrong every 3 minutes.
You know,
I kind of want to enjoy the ride of that and see if it's
enjoyable or not. I have heard a lot of people say Gone Girl about that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if that's what it is, but it looks interesting at the very least. It looks it's going to be a lot of fun.
I assume that's what it is. There's a bunch of films we didn't see. And
it's a little like Rear Window looking, too. It's like you're accidentally watching something because you're on the train. You pass by this house and
there it is.
Whatever.
Yeah,
and then
go.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
And,
so
and then you're down the rabbit hole. But anyway, and then the next week after that is The Accountant.
Right.
So,
which I'm kind of interested in
that. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks coming up.
Yeah.
I think that's plenty of time for this, and our hour is up. So don't really bother to go see this, I think, is the
final verdict. This is like a Redbox Netflix kind of thing. Yeah. I think. I don't know that it's necessary.
Anyway, we'll leave that movie aside at this point. Thanks for tuning in, and please, please share and subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.